This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
The East Baton Rouge Parish Library has come a long way since its founding in 1939 with a collection of secondhand donated books. Today, the card catalogs are long gone, and the library's collection now includes more than 2 million items, serving more than 325,000 registered borrowers. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with Mary Stein, Assistant Library Director. Mary Stein, Assistant Library Director. Here we are in Baton Rouge.
That's right. We're here in beautiful Red Stick.
So this is part of the East Parish?
It's East Baton Rouge Parish. Everything on the eastern side of the Mississippi, and it's a fairly large county. Mm-hmm. That's what a parish is. We have about 440,000 residents here, and a lot of them have library cards.
That doesn't happen by accident.
No, it's taken decades to grow our citizens. We're not known for literacy here, unfortunately, but we are known for being civically engaged. So for the past 30 years, the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System has worked to develop wonderful state-of-the-art libraries at the time throughout the parish so that wherever you live in this community, you have access to a library that's a full-service library that is open 7 days a week, whether you're tiny or large.
At one point in our history in America, my sense that libraries were kind of dying. They were just these dusty repositories with their Dewey Decimal card catalog, and it just wasn't connected with society the way one would think, but that's no longer so. Tell us about that evolution.
Yes, that is totally not the case. The modern library is a living, breathing thing. It is part of the community. It is that third space in the community where people from all walks of life can come and kind of cohabit. They study alongside each other. They attend programs for entertainment or for important things like getting jobs.
But you guys had to reinvent yourself. At one point, you were out of sync.
Well, I think that's fair to say for the American public. They thought that libraries were just a place for story time and maybe a little homework help. Mm-hmm. The truth is that when you examine yourself and you think strategically, you think, well, you don't stay a child forever. And of course, service to children is very important. Helping our children be ready for kindergarten is an important part of our mission with 1,000 books before kindergarten and story time and all those wonderful programs. But children grow. Yes, they spend a lot of time in school, and we have dedicated teen services staff that help them. But then they're adults, mm-hmm. and we don't just drop adults off the edge of the world. So we develop programs for life, lifestyle, business. We do a lot of work with the business community. We try to help small business grow.
Give us some specifics.
Sure. Well, here at the East Baton Rouge Parish Library, we have a fully functioning career center, open 6 days a week, everything from intake, aptitude tests, resume help, interview coaching. They do programs. They teach workshops. They help you do your resume. They'll go out and they actually help you do the job fair prep before you go to the job fair. They work with the local vendors to try to create better job fairs and better action at those job fairs. While at the same time, here at the main library on the second floor, the adult reference staff, they work as kind of like business concierge for small business and entrepreneurs, trying to take people who have an idea from the germ of the idea all the way to the research that's involved, the business plan, and further on so that they have a chance.
This is a true community service.
Absolutely.
This is not something that's just a barrier or a fee for entry.
No, everything here is free and open to the public. We love to give it away. We share all over the parish. And of course, there's fun things too. Last week, the Game of Thrones extravaganza. Last night, best-selling author Lisa Wingate. In the afternoon, we had Tai Chi and Judo and Kung Fu on the plaza. And inside, we had homemade pottery and wonderful soup bowls for empty bowls and something with local community groups such as the food bank. And that's something that the modern library does. We don't stay in our building. If you don't come to us, we go to you. And that means we're friends with the local area nonprofits and agencies, and we're constantly working with them. They come and use our spaces for trainings and workshops and events, and we go out to them. That's a wonderful back and flow thing, and that's not something that not every library does. Not every library makes their meeting rooms available, but if I'm not using mine for a wonderful event, for example, for One Book, One Community, why should it sit empty?
What you're describing is much more than a library. It's truly a community center.
We think so.
Yeah.
We take that very seriously. When we're working on the strategic plan, we're always thinking, what's the mission? It's to the residents, and the residents aren't just readers. They live in the community, and we want to be a part of making the quality of life good. We want to build capacity for our students and our prospective employees, mm-hmm. and then help our employers. It all circles back.
Back to the roots and the basics of the philosophy here. You have a whole room dedicated solely for high school kids, right?
That's right. We believe that teens are people. It's not like the old days where they should be seen and not heard. We want them to use the library. And again, we'll go to them if they don't come to us. But we want to capture the teenagers and the young college students, the millennials.
And what attractions work best to get them here?
It's kind of like a retail experience. If anime is what grabs them, that's what we'll show. We're doing something soon on graphic novels and comics. We play a lot of games. And yes, we slide a little STEM and STEAM learning in there too. Mm-hmm. But whether it's robotics or Lego or just giant Jenga, let me tell you, Tom, in the summer, the teenagers come in and we do life-size games like Hungry Hungry Hippo and Quidditch, and it's hysterical. You give the teens a chance to have fun, too, in a place where they're not judged. So that's part of it. Our teen librarians know that they are the welcome person. They are the person that doesn't judge. They just help.
Have you noticed that the teens who have come here and come here go out and they serve as your de facto ambassadors to draw in friends and others?
Absolutely. We overheard, I would say he was a junior in high school, and he was one of the cool kids, and he was saying something about go to the library. And a younger middle school student said, "The library? What do you want to go there for?" And he was like, "Are you kidding?" And he basically laid it out for them and recruited them to come. And, of course, these are our future adults.
And how did he sell that? How did he sell the library?
In two ways. First of all, it's a carrot and a stick. You know, I come because it was fun and it was cool and there were cool programs there and the ladies help you. And secondly, the stick was, you a fool if you don't take advantage of this stuff. Like free tutoring. I mean, come on. The ACT prep. The homework help that goes on, the space, the study space, and the fact that we'll help you find the book that you'll actually want to read, not just the one that you're forced to read.
And that's another dynamic that's palpable walking in, is yes, there are books that we're surrounded by, but this is much more than print tactile books anymore.
That's right. It's your whole experience on consuming information. So, yes, there's music CDs, and here in Baton Rouge, we still listen to CDs. Vinyl's still coming back. We watch Blu-rays and DVDs. We have documentaries. We have the feature films. We have audiobooks.
And you can check out all of those.
That's right. You can check out anything. You can check out a telescope. You can check out Arduino kits, paintings, sculpture.
Wait a minute. Yeah, somebody downtown yesterday, just out of the blue, was saying, "Do you know you can check out artwork from the library?" That's so cool.
We've been checking out artwork since the 70s. In fact, when I was a college student, I checked out artwork from the library for my apartment.
So you can check out a painting.
Yes, you can check out three, and you can check out sculptures.
Is there a fee for that?
No.
That's crazy.
It's just part of helping you consume things, whether you're an art teacher or just somebody that wants to dress up your apartment. I've had someone come in and check out French Impressionists because they were doing some fancy French food program, because we do love our food here in Baton Rouge.
You guys kind of invented food down here.
We like to think so. And let me tell you, I've eaten all around the world, and this rocks here.
Okay, back to checking out artwork. Mm-hmm. How long does somebody typically, or how long can you check out an artwork?
Well, we know that art is going to be a little different than reading a bestseller, so we let you check it out for 6 weeks, and you can even renew it a couple of times.
And there's no fee?
No, no fee. The fines that we charge to adults haven't been raised since, I don't think, World War II. It's a nickel a day, and it stops at $3. Children don't pay fines at all. Senior citizens don't pay fines at all, and they bring their books back anyway. So.
That's cool. So I can check out a telescope.
You can. Now, you have to take training for the telescope, and every other page of the training is don't look at the sun. But yes, we check out the Dobsonian telescopes. There are Arduino kits. We have bifocal kits. We'll be getting some more kind of STEM kind of kits that you can take home and use in your family, or the teacher could use them, or your homeschool group could use them, because we want people to remain engaged and active, and that's all part of it. And the same kinds of things that we have physically, we have in the digital library. So if you love indie films, we've got them. Documentaries, we've got them.
There's a really cool movie that I wanted to check out, and you didn't have it. What happens?
So if you tell us what you're interested in, we'll look and see if it's possible. You know, it may not be available online, or it may not be available in a physical format.
But if it is.
If it is, we'll try to get it for you. That's right.
And you would actually pay the fee for the...
We would buy it and add it to the collection, because we exist for you.
Then I would not have to pay a premium fee.
No, you wouldn't pay a premium fee. You breathe, you know.
It'd be really cool if the building department worked the way you guys work.
Well, we try to remain very conscious that we are totally paid for by the citizens of this parish.
So the citizens of the parish obviously get it and support you actively, or your budget would be going tighter and tighter.
That is correct. Since the 1986, we have been totally funded by a dedicated property tax that the citizens here vote every 10 years. And so our residents say, yes, we shall have a library, and it shall be good.
It shall be great.
I think so. Yeah.
And then you show movies out in the courtyard?
Oh, yes, yes. Every branch does programs. We did probably over 12,000, 13,000 programs, free programs, last year. And if I'm at a branch, maybe I'm watching a movie inside. We're doing story time. We've got something with STEM. We're building robots, whatever. We may have a speaker, an author. But here at the main library, because we are on the grounds of a wonderful park, we designed the building so that there would be a plaza. It has a giant screen out front. It has a stage. So we show movies out there in the summertime nights, and people bring their camp chairs and their dogs and their children, and we watch family movies. We show concerts out there.
We have live music.
Yeah, live music out there. We do demonstrations out there. We try to make it an active space.
And how do you promote the things you do primarily?
So the same way everyone does this day and age. In addition to the usual media, letting the newspaper and the radio stations know, Facebook.
What works the best in social media for you?
Locally, it seems to be Facebook. We get a lot of response from Facebook. We send out e-blasts. We have a monthly newsletter that's about 28, 30 pages long, because there's so many programs, people get that. So just last night, I asked the people attending the Lisa Wingate program, how did they hear? And the room was totally divided in little pockets. This one was Twitter. This one was Facebook. This one saw it in the newspaper. This one read about it in a magazine. This one heard it on their local public radio station. So a nice variety.
So you have to work all different angles in.
Yes. It's like the old adage, make new friends, but keep the old. So we just keep adding new channels of communication.
This morning I was walking along the levee down on the Mississippi River by the old state capitol, and there was a bookmobile.
We have a very active bookmobile service, 4 big bookmobiles and then some runner vans that actively go out into the community every day. In addition to fun things like being downtown for the Blues Fest or Ebb and Flow, they go to 150 preschools every month. They go to about 50 senior centers. They go to places like the Bus Depot, the Salvation Army, some community centers, and they bring books. They bring other things besides books, depending on on what the residents need. At the preschools, they do story time. They bring exchange collections, so the kids always get fresh things. And then they'll do health fairs and back-to-school fairs and, you know, whatever's out there. They never sleep.
So the bookmobile is a success.
And it some, is.
Kind of like the Wienermobile, where Absolutely. People look forward to seeing it arrive.
It is library love on wheels. And people just... they're bemused by the idea of the library mobile going
coming,
down the street.
Coming to them.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's the same as what we're offering here, but, you know, you put anything on wheels and it's more fun. So we have a very active crew. They love people, and they're basically advocates for the library, ambassadors, really, out in the community.
Before we go, let's go back in time in the world of Mary Stein and how you got hooked and became a librarian.
Well, when I was little, growing up in Charleston, West Virginia, there was a sweet old downtown library.
Creaky wood floor.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like a Carnegie Library with a giant staircase and the dioramas built into the wall of the staircase. And the librarian there just left the world open to me, and I never forgot that. And going through college, sooner or later, you had to decide what you were going to try to do for a living, and that's when I fell into the library school channel and worked in university libraries, but then came to the public library and never looked back.
So when did you come here?
I actually came to LSU in 75, graduated with a couple of degrees from there, and came to work for the East Baton Rouge Parish Library in 1984.
So,
I love it.
So since 84, you have watched a true revolution and an evolution.
In 1984, when I worked in the library, there were 3 electric typewriters, and we were happy to have them. So a few years down the road, we do jazz funerals for the card catalog and set things on fire and got computers. And then there was this thing called the internet. We have not looked back. There was a giant change in culture, in being able to offer people so much more, and then also help our local citizens. We all grew into this computer world together.
Looking forward, dreaming and envisioning, where are you going?
So looking forward, we're spending a lot of time growing our staff so that we will be able to participate more fully in the maker movement. We have our own mini maker fair, and we have pop-up maker labs going on here and there. But our entire staff, it's a service staff, and it's a knowledge staff. So locally, we've got to spend some time making sure that we're all able at any time to help somebody with new technologies, emerging technologies. You know, a few years ago, people thought 3D printers were almost the end of the world. Oh my gosh. And now, I mean, who doesn't have one or 14? And what can you do with them? That's the thing. So the teaching the programming behind the video games, behind the movies, that's something that we're working on. And then here locally, really working on building capacity of our adults so that they're ready to work. So that's something we have to work on as a public citizen.
And one more, it's one thing to attract kids who have this innate built-in curiosity, but what works to attract the older people and adults to come back to the library?
Well, I will say adults want to know. You know, grandma wants to know what people are talking about. So that's one way you can lure them in. We have like technology petting zoos, and have been for ever since Granny first got her Kindle for Christmas, so that we can help them with their emerging technology so they don't feel stupid, so that they can participate. At least they know what people are talking about. So that is one growth channel for us. And everything from we're all in the virtual reality, and we take it on the bookmobile to the senior centers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
so you
really
put
good.
The little eyepiece on them. And
oh, yeah.
That they must trip out on that.
Oh, right. And then, of course, you can use it for educational things. So you can do, with interactive science, you can do a live dissection, interactive, digital. You can go undersea and examine what's happening in the Gulf with the Water Institute right down the street. And water is very important to us. You know, we can use these fun technologies for the deeper purpose of expanding our universe and then figuring out how to take care of it.
I love it. A little bit more. One more special closest to your heart.
Well, one of the closest things to my heart is helping people find a connection in literature. You know, I was on a mission to stamp out the Scarlet Letter as we know it. Don't make those ninth grade boys read that. So whether it's the little child who's finding Pete the Cat or talking to the pigeon, and don't let the pigeon stay up late, I love helping our parents and caregivers, giving them the permission to share these books with their children in a way that's non-judgmental. That's what we see is an issue here. We have parents and caregivers who think they don't do it right, so they don't do it. And of course, the number one thing is just read to your baby. Read to that baby every day, 15 minutes at least. Otherwise, it's the end of the world as we know it.
I taught my daughter Spanish doing that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And that's something where the neural pathways, they know so much now, so we have the muzzy for the little kids while the parents are doing Mango.
Mary Stein, thank you for sharing.
Thank you. We're excited to have y'all visit.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. You know, it's been said the future isn't what it used to be.
It's more.
Yeah. Well, the library is definitely not what it used to be.
That's right. We like to say we're not your grandfather's library. There's no shushing here, Tom.
I love it. To learn more?
To learn more about us, go to ebrpl.com.
That's too easy. Mary Stein, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We'll see you down here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. Long live rock and roll. The beat of the drums loud and bold.